This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bonjour to our New Caledonian listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and across from me, is my usual Cook Island Koi, Tinara Arona T. How's my French?
Bonjour, ça va?
Bonjour, ça va? Je suis, je m'appelle Sam. Oh, all over it, that's all I've got, but how are you, my friend?
I am good. Kia ora to all our listeners across the Pacific. You're here listening to Nijan Footy, and today we are previewing round one in the NRL. I'll also cover last night's game. Where,
round what?
Round three.
Round three.
Did I say round one?
I think you said round one.
I said round one.
Yeah.
Sorry, round three and round six in the Super Rugby. But last night we also had the Panthers play the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne, which I'll be covering. We've got two experts here on Nijan Footy who will help us out. We have Sala Tonga Tuki, our Gillaroos NRLW superstar, and our Tongan legend, Tota King Kefu.
Yes, he'll be dropping by to give us all the goss around rugby union, and hopefully with the Pacific Hall of Fame being announced, there's a few inductees that we will mention. We'll ask him if he's got the call up for this year because he is a legend of the game.
Well, let's rip straight into it with footy news.
Hey, it's Lockie Lamb. I'm listening to Nijan Footy.
Let's start with rugby. What do you got for us, Emmy?
We're going to go rugby or rugby league?
Nah, what do you want to do? We'll go rugby league, seeing as the Storm and the Panthers played last night.
I was genuinely shocked. He's going to let me go first.
We're sticking with rugby league.
All right.
Well, last night, round three kicked off, and geez, what a game. You know, last year's grand final rematch. Panthers winning last year's grand final, and last night, the Storm in Melbourne, that first 20 minutes looked like it was going to be all Storm's way. They just ran harder. I thought Stefano Toikomanu, some of his runs off the back fence, he was, you know, unreal the way that he got his bumpers up, put a couple Panthers boys, sat them down on their bums. But they were up 12-0 with 20 minutes into the game, and then they got a penalty 20 metres away from the try line, and they end up taking the penalty kick. Now, when I listened to the coach's review after the game, the press conference, Craig Bellamy mentioned, you know, was that the wrong choice? Because from there, you know, it looked like they were a little complacent, the Melbourne Storm and Panthers. They just have this culture of knowing how to find a way to win the game, you know, get themselves into the game. And, yeah, that's exactly what they done, starting from Paul Alamotti, who scored the next two tries. But the way that he scored the tries was the impressive thing. You know, the shape, you know, them plays that you usually see from the Penrith Panthers, it just seems like everything's, you know, everyone knows their role. The big moment in this game, though, was their halfback star player, Nathan Cleary. So 8 minutes into this game, he goes up for the ball. Unfortunately, he lands on Jerome Hughes' body, and then as he comes down, his head hits the ground, and then he gets a HIA. So he gets a head knock. He has to go to the sideline and doesn't come back onto the field. So from there, it was like, okay, who's going to step up? You look at the Panthers' leaders, guys like Isaiah Yeo, Brian Toll had a huge game. I thought Paul Amotti, he stepped up as well. But then the rookies, you know, you had Jack Cole, who came on and played, he was playing six, but he had to jump into halfback. And then we've seen the young Samoan star, Blaise Talangi, come on and play in the halves with Jack Cole. He made his Panthers debut, and I just thought the way that they handled, you know, playing without Nathan Cleary, getting themselves into the game, you know, finding a way to still put themselves in the frame to win the game, just really shows the Panthers culture. But you can't take away, you know, credit from the Storm, because when you've got the big four, you know, guys like Harry Grant at nine, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster, and Ryan Pappenhausen at fullback, they just make their moments count, and that's exactly what they've done to win this game. You know, they set up this final play where went down the short side, and then you got the ball to Jerome Hughes to Cameron Munster. He puts a little grubber kick in to Ryan Pappenhausen to score. But they didn't know that 2-3 plays before that, they were setting up getting that fullback stuck on the sideline or stuck in the corner, so there was no one in the back to cover
that. Oh, so
that
they
kick.
Planned that. They were like their chess piece of setting it up, and then they had the Panthers fullback stuck in the corner, so they knew there was no one in the boot there
and then
covering.
They put the grubber in to win the game. So
nice bit of detail. Love that.
Also seen Nelson Asofa Solomona. He came on off the bench. He's been suspended for a couple games, so he missed out on last year's grand final. And geez, he is a big human being. He even took out his own player.
Yeah, if I was him, obviously I'd be like, I'm not defending next to, even though he's my teammate and I'd love to play with him, I would hate to defend next to him, because every time he flies into a tackle, his own teammates are getting busted. That's not for me. No way.
So the Storm won this game 30-24. They both scored 5 tries each, but again, the boot of Nick Meaney and Ryan Pappenhausen, you know, got those 4 out of 5 conversions, plus that penalty goal that made the difference. So, you know, 2 losses in a row for the Panthers, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that they'll find their way back into the season and, you know, I still believe that these two teams will be playing each other in the finals come towards the back of the season.
That's a massive call, but I think you're not wrong, my friend.
Sammy, another game I'm looking forward to this weekend is on Sunday, where the Manly Sea Eagles will be taking on Canberra Raiders. Manly coming off a big loss against the New Zealand Warriors, so I'm sure they've had a big week at training, and the Raiders are hot, 2-from-2, beating the Broncos last week and Sharks in round 1. So,
are they your smoky this year?
The Raiders?
Canberra? Yeah. Like, have they shown enough, or is it a bit too early to
even... The thing I love about Raiders is they've gone with their own game plan and just gone flat and fast straight through the middle. And guys like Josh Papali'i, they're playing without Joey Tapine as well, where they're, you know, getting them on the front foot. Everyone's playing a role and just being real dominant and quick around the ruck.
So there's no like real, like,
there's no fancy plays.
It's just being direct, simple.
And in defense, get up and bash them. And, you know, I love...
It's a simple game plan, isn't it?
Very simple game plan, but it's working.
It works. Yep.
My question is like, how do they feel come round 20,
yeah,
round
does 21? It take a toll on your
does
body?
Does it take a toll on the body? At the moment, they've come out the blocks hot, so huge game. Look forward to Manly and Raiders. That would be my one for the weekend. And remember, this weekend, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. There is no game for the PNG Hunters this week. They have a bye in the Queensland Cup. And we will touch base shortly with Sala Tongatuki to cover all things rugby league this weekend. Rugby Union, Sammy, what do you got for us?
Beautiful. Yeah, we'll start off with Moana Pacifica. Their fearless leader, Adi Savea, is out this week with a hamstring injury, so he won't be featuring in that game against the Chiefs, which was supposed to be played in Tonga at Dofiva Stadium, but is now in New Zealand at Pukekohe. There's been some injuries there for Moana Pacifica. We still know Julian Salvea, his brother, Lotu Anisi, their number 8, is still missing. Danny Tuala and a couple more as well. So they've got a few outs, but hopefully they can go to, after the bye that they had and the good win that they had against the Hurricanes the week before, hopefully they can back up their performance and get the dub for this one against the Chiefs. Also, injuries to Joseph Suaalii, still out with his toe injury. I know they've come out in the press and said that, like, he was supposed to be back this week. He might be back next week, but my mail's telling me he's going to be out for a bit longer. It's still not healing as well. So hopefully he does come back faster, and it will be next week. But you just don't want to rush any of those injuries, especially with the Lions series around the corner. The Drua are missing Ravu Tamanda, their winger. He had a HIA last week, so he's gone back to Fiji. So some big outs there for some of our Pacifica teams, but I'm sure they'll still do well. In the Super Rugby women's competition, we will start there. It's actually hard to believe that there's only 2 more games, 2 more rounds.
Didn't they start last week?
It's felt like it. It's honestly been a massive sprint, and it's been, again, like we keep saying it every week, but it is a tight competition. Even though, say, like the Western Force and the Brumbies are winless, there's still an opportunity for them to make probably the top, if they get these two wins with their bonus points, the ladder could look very different come round five. The Waratahs, they have the bye this week. They do sit on top of the table, but they will be playing against Pinina Pacifica. And this will be Pinina Pacifica's final game, which will cap off their, I'd say, their remarkable four-week campaign. And they've played against all the Super Rugby Australian teams during their bye weeks. So I'm pretty interested to see how they finish off on what's been an unforgettable 4 weeks for them. And hopefully we can see them in Super Rugby very, very soon. The Brumbies will take on the Reds in Canberra on Saturday, 1 p.m. kickoff. And look out for sisters Faitala Moleka starting at 10, and her other sister Manua Moleka, she'll be starting at 13. So there's a massive occasion there for the Moleka family with both the sisters starting for that one. For the Reds, they'll be stinging after last week's loss to the Waratahs, so I'm sure they'll be looking to get back in the winner's circle. And if they do so, they need to rely heavily on Shalom Sawaso. She's been unbelievable. She's been the best center in the competition, I think, by a long shot. And I know with the Rugby World Cup, the Women's Rugby World Cup this year, it's on at the same time as NRLW.
Really?
Yeah.
So she could be. She has to make that decision.
Yeah, I don't know how they're NRLW.
She's already signed NRLW.
Yeah,
contract,
she's already signed. So I don't think she's staying. But like,
but you know what's a good thing?
You could still select her.
She's also will be playing next year in the the Women's World Cup.
You know, actually, I forgot to tell you. After I saw her in Fiji at the game, I was like, oh, what are your plans for rugby league? What are you in terms of the international space? She goes, oh yeah, Samoa have already hit me up.
I think
I'm involved. So there you go. There's some big news.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise you, but it's good to hear straight from the source that they'll be looking to play for Samoa.
Really looking forward to watching Shalom play for Brisbane Broncos.
On Sunday, the Western Force take on the Fijian Drua, 4:50 Perth time, 8:50 Fijian time, and this will be a double header, and the men's will be playing before them. And it's honestly a make or break for the Western Force.
Fijiana draw.
Yeah, Fijiana. Oh, the Fijian draw, they're called.
Fijian draw.
Yeah, Fijian draw.
So women's. What's the men's name?
Fijian draw as well.
So Fijian draw women's team.
Women's team, yep. This will be a make or break for the Western Force. They are winless. Draw against the Brumbies. Tight loss against the Waratahs. And you'd have to think with their stars that they have over there, Ash Masters, Cook Islander, Cecilia Smith, Samoan, Sarah Nagama, Fijian, Alana Sikimeti, Tongan, they have to be standing up in this game to change the course of their season so far. Better now, otherwise they will be missing out on the semi-finals. The Drawers sit in second place, 1 point behind the Waratahs, and they've had a few changes for this game, notably in the front row after the game-winning performances off the bench from Nambuli, Marwa and Matarungu. They deserve a start for this one. Then in other news, my mail's good. My mail is good. Did I say last week that Tonga with Kefu, that the Ikaletahi have got a new coach added to their ranks?
Yep.
I did that. Daniel Halangahu. I thought it was already announced, but it only got announced yesterday. So he will be joining, which he's a former Waratahs fly half. So he'll be added to the coaching staff, which is much needed. They still need to qualify for the World Cup. It looks like the Indigenous and Pacifica 15 Invitational team has been confirmed to play against the British and Irish Lions. This when's that coming up? Very like in a few months' time. Christian Lili'ifanu has already put his hand up to want to play for that Invitational side. And there's also an Aus-New Zealand Invitational team as well.
When you say Indigenous, so Australia and New Zealand?
Australia. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. That's actually good. Because I know like Kirtley Bill will want to play in that one. But it would be awesome to have Maldives in there. New Zealand Maldives in there as well. Like that'll be a strong team. Could even be stronger than the Wallaby teams if they've got free rein on who they can pick. But they'll be competing against the Aus-New Zealand selection, where they've already earmarked Richie Mo'unga to play in that one as well against the British and Irish Lions.
Oz, New Zealand, so both Australia and New Zealand teams together.
Together, yeah.
Oz and New Zealand together.
Like the overseas one. So Michael Hooper, okay, like from Japan, all the Japanese-based players and the French-based players.
So guys like Richie Monga, what happens if you're selected in both? Teams?
No, that's a combined team.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean for the Pacific one? Yeah, that's a decision that they have to make. So that's it's going to be interesting.
Or you can play both?
I reckon you could, because some people have played both because it's only a one-off game.
Mm.
So you actually probably could. You get a double crack at the British and Irish line. So it's a great point you bring up, T. It could be a very strong side.
Sure, you'll be able to find the answers.
Yeah, I'll find it for our listeners. And as I mentioned in the intro, the Pacific Hall of Fame inductees are being announced at the moment. And we've seen the great man, Samoan Tana Umanga, Fijian Seremaia Bay, and Big Willie Ofahengawe have all been inducted into the Hall of Fame, as well as Cook Islander Monique Hiruvana. She's also been added, and the ceremony will commence on the 10th of April. Hopefully our man King Kefu will be in amongst those great players, but we'll find out when we chat to him. And that is our rugby union news.
Great work. Let's head over to Sala Tongatuki to cover rugby league.
The rugby league preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it is time to hear from our New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar, premiership winner, and Fetu Samoa, Jelaruz, the list goes on, breakdancer of the year, Sala Tongatuki. Welcome back to Nijin Footy Fridays. How are you, sis?
Oh, thank you for welcoming me. I'm really good. Just really sore, but happy to be here.
Hey,
thank you.
We haven't actually brought it up on our show today because I was going to save it for Monday, but because I seen you there on the other night at the Run It Straight Challenge, the Run It Straight. It was held in Western Sydney.
And yeah.
I was actually thinking if there was a female Run It Straight.
I still wouldn't enter.
I would be.
Get folded.
Imagine how you'd go.
How
do you think you'd go, Sala?
Oh, I reckon I've seen some bloody young girls in Natasha Gale that can hit up, like put some hits on. And I reckon like us older heads, like we'd probably be challenged. And I feel like it's an ego thing though. Like you probably know some of the best runners run it straight and you could see them all sidelined. And I'm just like, what are you doing standing there?
My brother being one of them, 134.
It is an ego. It is an ego thing. If you were like an NRL player and you're watching that on the sideline and then with the crowd that was there.
Oh my God.
Last time, I just go, come on, Adam, have a crack. He's not going to do it. Doesn't want to be.
And all of a sudden,
give me the ball.
For all our listeners.
Yes.
So in Western Sydney, there was a Run It Straight. It was a games, Run It Straight games.
Oh, or an challenge, event.
And the game is one guy runs the ball, carries the ball as hard as you can to a defender, and you just go run it straight, one-on-one, and then whoever, they'll both have a turn at running the ball.
They both, and what's the lead up? What's the run?
It's about 20 meters.
20-meter run up.
10, 20 meters. Yeah. And then they'll both have a hit up, and then the judges will, the crowd will be like, okay, this is the winner. And then they have a knockout series. But yeah, it was a cool event. Cool to see you down there, Sala. And
no, good to see you there. There was a lot of content creators there.
Yep.
They're quite big on socials. So that
Tai Tuivasa was there as well. Big Bam Bam.
Tai Tuivasa.
Bam Bam was there.
Pacific.
660 was there as well.
Who?
So,
660 was there.
Yeah, they were there with 046, the boys. I think it's just
what
awesome.
An event.
No, seriously, it was a huge, like, for just an event like that, like, those boys and the bands came out and supported it.
Well, that was that was my point. It's a lose-lose situation if you do play rugby league because you go out there, you get pumped, you'll get shamed. But if you go put a mad shot on, you'll be like, oh, no, you're a bully.
You're celebrated. Oh, no.
There's no way I'll do that. I'll be not signing up for that.
You'll never,
never,
you'll
ever.
Never get it like, oh, yeah, that was mad. Hey, that's so true. If you win, you'd get like mocked. Like, oh, we get it. You can throw shoulders.
All right, well, better get into the
proper
stuff.
Some footy stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm going to rewind a little bit. to Vegas. Now,
enough with the breakdancing. She's done with it.
No. Oh, sorry. About the footy. Could you feel the women's game having an impact over there, both before and after, or after the match in Vegas?
Yeah. Like, honestly, before, it's like we were nobodies. And then after the game, like wherever we went, like through the casinos, whatever hotel you were in, right through into onto the streets, the main strip, like people knew who you were. So that I felt like, yeah, they were very successful in exposing the game. I guess if you're in uniform, and that's how they sort of knew as well, and they would pinpoint you out, like, yeah, they remember this and that exactly from the game. And this is Americans that we were, like, crossing paths with. But I feel in general as a whole, like, it's really just, you know, made other players and that want to be in and amongst playing in, like, locations like that. So it's definitely growing. I've come back home and I've heard, like, just people and then neighbours and that saying, oh, you know, that they want their daughter and that to play. How cool, like, no one would have thought that, you know, to see a women's game being played at Allegiant Stadium in America.
Yeah. Is that something you'd share to the Landies if he was to, like, because I know they're thinking of cutting one of the games off. Is that, you know, the points that you'd bring up, you know, about the you inspiring the next generation of girls by having that platform in Vegas?
And what game would you have then? If it's not an international one, what would you like to have over there then?
I'd love to have a State of Origin game there. I just felt like, look, it's nothing on the England girls. Like you could see if they were to obviously come and play an NRW, like every single one of them, they would like benefit from it. And this is us, like not just myself, but you know, some of us girls and that we've heard just speaking with some of those players directly that who don't get to come and play NRW, don't have that opportunity. They do see, you know, the girls that do like Georgia Roche, like she'd go back and they see her just like her game's elevated, it's gone another level. And a lot of them want that, but it's a funding thing. So like they can't really just come as they want to. Same vice versa. I've even had like Keely Davis and Millie Elliott, like on their podcast, they've even shouted out that, you know, we're only playing 5 months of NRW here in Australia. Whereas what do we do with the 7 months? And they were saying maybe the England's rugby league competition that's sort of similar to our NRW, maybe some of us players can go over, play, upskill some of their, like, you know, upskill their comp, and that way they can come to NRW and benefit from our comp. That's why, like, obviously the result was, it is what it is. But yeah, I felt like a lot of people, like the people's voices were saying, you know, it should have been a Jillaroos New Zealand game, or yeah, it could have just been like a NRLW game just because there was NRL round and Super League. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The state of origin would be huge to have over there. Just the audience and you know, even the Americans to see the elite level of our women's game. That would be quite amazing for them to see as well. So it'd be an entertaining game to play. But you've got two NRL games to bring up for this weekend that you're looking forward to. Let's start with your first one. What game are you looking forward to and why?
The Warriors and the Roosters. Oh, look, yeah. I just feel like both teams, because they're both one from two. And, like, Roosters are obviously coming in form. Like, they've just...
In but form, like, that's not what you were saying 2 weeks ago. Wow, that's changed quick.
And I have to own up to it. Like, man, they came out firing against the Penny Boys. And I have a good feel about this game. It can really go either way. Like, Warriors have got a decent percentage win at their home game when they're hosting. So I feel like they will look to make a statement. And, yeah.
Spencer Lenu?
Yep, he'll be returning. He's that's back. Definitely one
okay,
of
yep.
Off the back, Ben Spence.
Yeah, him and James Fisher-Harris. So that's going to be a good one. Yeah.
I stole it off, I think, as Rico Ioane.
Oh, yeah. What position he would play?
What position he would play. I seen on social media they had the Blues and the Warriors.
Yeah, beautiful. And,
they asked Rico Ioane, you know, what position he would play, and he goes, off the back fence, Spence.
That's so, right. He said he would prop, fullback. He just kept coming back for more positions. Anyway.
And Warriors, who are you looking out for in the Warriors?
Oh, I'm looking out for Roger Tuivasa and Daniel Tupou.
Yeah.
Both experienced heads, so I'd love, and they've both played with each other. So
great mates.
Yeah, great mates, and this one's definitely that's probably going to be my favorite one. And I've also got Sia R. Wong and Maratta Nuokare, just both back rowers and that. Like, really, they run really good lines and that, and just both safe with the ball. So I don't know what, I haven't looked at the weather, but I can't really wait to see them two boys go at each other. And probably one more for me is Nofahu White.
Yep.
He'll be starting for the Roosters with Spence. So I feel like this will be a huge one because obviously I've seen an article come out where he's emotional, his debut for New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it was an emotional one for him and his family. And to be able to play in a Roosters jersey on his home soil, I feel like it's going to, bring a lot more meaning to his why. And when people have that deeper why, their game, they perform well. That's just me. So I'm keen to see how he goes for Roosters.
I actually used to love when I played for the Roosters when we'd go play Warriors because you're playing. It's like another home game for you, and you get to go see your family.
Yeah.
Is there a big following, Roosters following in New Zealand as well?
No, if you're New Zealand born.
Sorry. Yeah.
So all the New Zealand born players, and a lot of them were from the Roosters as well. Yeah. Yeah. Myself, Wade Hargreaves, and Roger at the time. But Nofahu White now going back to his homeland, playing in front of his own family. Yeah, it'd be a special moment for him. Celeste Fochetti, he'll be suspended. I know that.
Oh, my gosh, one of my favourites to watch last week. Yeah, like, that's who stepped up, and he's going to be missed for the Roosters. And, oh, my gosh, just what he does away from the footy, the sacrifice, it's insane.
I reckon him and Spencer together,
they'll tee up. Combination.
That's the combo. Yeah. Very similar type players.
Low
to the ground. I reckon Celeste will grow each week just by playing with someone like Spence. You can already see how much he's gained from just training with
him. You're not wrong there.
But it was even just their footwork. Like, you don't see that much in middles, often, footwork. So, I felt like with Roosters, it was just their will to keep the ball alive. Like, they kept shifting it, and it just stuffed up the defence line for Penrith Panthers. And it's so rare that you see that happen. So those boys do it again because, obviously Warriors are they've not been losing big. Like, it's just, they've just cleaned it up and got their first win last week. So I feel like they're also coming in form as well, and it will definitely be a good game for these two teams.
I reckon the player to watch, Mark Nawangani Te Wase, he killed it last week. I'm assuming that you're going for the Roosters.
Yeah, I'm definitely going. I'm going to back them this week.
He's back on the wagon.
She's back on.
When I watched last week, I was thinking about you, Tim. I went all wrong with that.
Don't worry, I don't think you're the only one. And in your second game, what game are you looking forward to?
I've gone with the Sharks and Souths this weekend. Obviously, the Cronulla Sharks will be hosting South Sydney in, I reckon it's going to be a cracking game. Sharks are coming off a strong performance. Obviously, they struggled to find rhythm in a game in Vegas, but you have the likes of Nico Hines taking charge for them. But on the other side, I reckon South Sydney, they've just been so unlucky with players being injured and out, so they've shown a plenty of resilience, and I feel like Rabideau's depth has really stepped up. I've been proud to see Isaiah Tass and Keon Kolomatangi. I feel like they've made their presence felt their last two games, and they are 2 from 2, so it's definitely a game I'm going to be looking forward to as well. Probably my key battles to watch in this would be the forwards. So Sharks prop Braden Uwele.
Yep.
And Davey Miley. Yeah, that's who. Obviously, you got Adam Fanua Blake there. He's just been killing it. And there's a couple I could name. I could go on and on. You've got Oregon Kalfusi as well. Sharks are stacked. They've got Brighton. Is it Brighton or Britton Nakora?
Britain, yep.
And then you've got Siosifa Talakai and Tuku Hau Tupuka, who come off the bench with Braden. But then on the south side, you've got off the bench is Silivov Havili and Tavita Tatola. Vita normally starts with south, so to have him come off the bench and ease his way in, he's definitely going to be that experienced head that will be good for south.
What about What about the Tongan presence in this game?
I was going to say that, like, you mentioned all those names. Are we naming the Tongan team here?
Davey Moali. I know Davey played for the Cook Islands, but he's also half Tongan. You've got Adam Fanua-Blake. You've got Keon Kolomatangi.
Oregon Kaufusi.
It's it's a huge matchup, huge day for all Tongans.
But
the Red Army out in force this weekend.
You are right. The forwards battle will be
a forwards battle for sure.
I think Davey Moali, a big test for him to see how he handles those big players like Adam Fanua-Blake. I know Souths are 2 from 2. I'm going to go for the Sharks on this one. What about you, Sulla?
No, I was going with the Sharks as well.
Yeah.
Really, because they've got a lot of our Pacific boys in there, so... I'd like to, hopefully see the Sharks get one up here.
That's good. And just quickly before we go, State of Origin, I know you've been training. Have you had the time to have some rest, or are you still
judging
training?
Judging from our socials, there's no
still
rest.
Still training?
It's been intense. Obviously, we've got a new coach, Strangey. He's been awesome, and the structure of our, it's obviously pre-season block before we go into internal house trials, just how we did it last year. But last week was only 60%, and it honestly felt like it was max 100%. So,
for all our listeners, if you can see her face, she is in pain.
But in good shape. Hey, look, you in good shape as always. Traps are touching your ears, muscles bulging everywhere. And you'll be off the back fence like Spence.
Back fence, Spence. Salatonga too.
She is.
Guys, it's been intense. We do like 4 gym sessions and 3 like field sessions a week. Oh. And we're not allowed to do any other training other than that, purely because it's intense, the sessions. So you do pull up as if you feel like you've played a game. So like when I woke up this morning and I needed to go move my body, because if I stayed in longer, I'd probably,
Makes sense why your stories are on private. Yeah, okay,
you keep up with it, you make sure you recover well. And
thanks, guys.
Yeah, just keep chipping away and up the Blues.
The Nijan Footy All-Stars!
The Nijan Footy All-Stars tee each week. We pick from Rugby League and I'll pick from Rugby Union, and we'll add them to our All-Star squad to choose our starting team, starting 13 and a starting 15. And man, my Rugby Union team, already the names on this list, it's going to be tough come the end of season.
Yep, they've got to have starred in the past week. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how our final 13 or 15, what that looks like, or 17, sorry, in the rugby league, will look like at the end of the year.
Are you going to... No, just...
You have to 13. Go 17.
Nah, I want to make it harder.
1 to 13.
1 to 13. Just the starting. 1 to 15.
No
sitting
players
on the fence. Just you got to make a decision because... Right. Yeah, I just think everyone does the 17.
Okay, you go 1 to 15, I'll go 1 to 13.
1 to 13, yeah. Too easy. We'll go from there. So who do you have
you
for this week?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
This week, I'm going with an outside back, a very tall outside back, the humble giant, Daniel Dubol.
Great selection.
From the Sydney Roosters. Selection. With his 2 tries, he jumped to equal 2nd on the all-time NRL top try scorers list with 166 tries. It wouldn't surprise me this week. Once he scores one more, he jumps to outright 6 on his own. So, Daniel Dubol, you are welcome to my Nijan Footy All-Stars squad.
Yeah, beautiful.
Hopefully we see you in the same form and we get you in that last final 13 now. My other player is just a workhorse for the West Tigers and someone who really, transitioned from from Sydney Roosters to the Tigers and is starting to really show his presence at his new club. Now, this player is Samoan Tyrrell May. Last week, he, in 73 minutes, in a very, very hot day, he had 21 carries for 176 metres and also had 43 tackles. I believe he could easily play 80-minute footy in the middle. I'm hoping that he pushes for this New South Wales Blues team this year as well. So Tyrrell May, I've got in my squad this
year.
Nice,
bro. They're great picks. Absolute superstars there for that one. Rugby Union, I've had a look at the positions of the ones that I've chosen so far. It's pretty even, but I need some props. So I had to keep my eye out on some of the props, the dark arts of how they scrum, how they get around the field, how they lift in the lineouts and set the head of the moor. And I've gone with our PNG prop from the Reds. He played well against the Tars last week. Zane Nongor. So my tight end prop, he is going to jump into the All-Star squad. Hopefully he will be there at the end of the year as well. Not too many PNG players playing in Super Rugby, and he's one of the stars for that country. And I can't go past Samoan centre Len Ikitau from the Brumbies after his three tries that he scored against the Drua. I think everything he did, both sides of the ball, attack and defence, he was sensational in that game, and he's going to jump into my All-Stars squad for Rugby Union.
Great work, Sammy. Well,
give me some more energy. So, yes.
Yeah, cool, Sammy.
You always do that for rugby. Yeah, cool, rugby. Let's go straight to rugby league.
Well, speaking of rugby, mate, we've got more rugby to chat with the king himself, Tota Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Tota Kefu.
With Tota Kefu.
Yes, each week we are joined by a giant of Australian and Pacifica Rugby Union. He represented the Wallabies 60 times and coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years. He's back in Japan coaching. We welcome him back to Nijin Footy Fridays. King Kefu, Tota Kefu. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Damn the man. Good to be back. And it's good to see you wearing the mighty maroon colours of the Reds.
For our new listeners, or for if you didn't listen to last week's episode, shame on you, but I had a bet with the King last week, and I said the Tars would get over the Reds, and whoever lost would have had to wear the opposite jersey this week. I lost, and I've got this old school jersey. Rodney Blake, the big Rodzilla, this is his old training jersey. It's about 20 something years old, so
it'd be a bit loose on you too, wouldn't it?
Oh, mate, he must have been pretty slim. That he must have had a good preseason that year. It's actually not too bad. Or I've put on since I've retired, so one or the other. But it actually fits all right. But I don't suit these colours though. What do you think?
No, I think you look good, mate. You should leave it on for the rest of the week.
I definitely won't be doing that. But Japan, how's the week for you in Japan? Who do you have this weekend?
Oh, you know, we beat Shimizu last week, so we're on a one game roll. So we're just going to use all this momentum to try and beat who we got. We got Kamaishi tomorrow. So.
Oh, we're at home or in Kamaishi?
No, we're at home.
Oh, did Lima didn't play? Did Lima play?
No, he didn't. I was looking for him too.
There you go. I thought I'd seen him on the sidelines.
Must have listened to the show because the tip that you gave, run down his channel.
Yeah, he must have got scared.
Got scared.
Yeah, I think it did work.
Fair enough. And then, Kamaishi, how are they going?
They're actually going good. The beauty of the competition is any team can really beat any team. So you need to play well on the day, but you can't take any team easy, that's for sure.
Yeah, nice. But let's rip into Super Rugby, the Brumbies. Too good against the Drua last week. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, Drua started off really well. You know, the first 5 minutes they had all the possession and territory. I thought they just got a little bit too lateral in their attack, but after that, it was all Brumbies, really. At halftime, it got out to 28-7. They had a really good set piece. And just after halftime, though, the Dura boys scored two quick tries. And, you know, you think, geez, we're on, we've got a game here. But, look, Brumbies at home, Lenny Ikitau, outstanding. I coached Lenny Ikitau, actually, at BBC College in Brisbane. He's a Queenslander. And you wouldn't have thought, I didn't think he'd be, you know, could play Test match rugby. But geez, he's the best outside centre hands down in Australia. Wouldn't he be at the moment?
Yeah, I think he'd be first picked in the Wallabies side. I know there was rumours that he was actually signed in Japan. He might take a 1 year then come back, but I'm not sure how that's unfolded yet. But hopefully,
we'll take him anyway, Kintetsu, if that's the case.
Mate, give him some of your yen. Stop taking all the budget, and he'll be there, mate. He will be there.
All my kids have taken my yen, mate. I haven't done any less. He was outstanding. He scored three tries, and he probably set the other one up too. So he had a hand in nearly scored four tries, actually. But he was outstanding, I thought. Drew had some there were some simple errors and some ill discipline. For example, I think there was a kickoff where in the second half, and they just simply dropped the ball. There was no pressure on him. So just little things like that are starting to creep into their games. But Brumbies at home, it's probably one of the toughest things to do to beat them. It's a fortress down there.
There's been a lot of commentary around, I guess, the refereeing around the draw, and they're not getting those 50-50 calls. And, some players have actually come out and said, yeah, we can see it. It's happening. What's your thought around that when you've got that external noise and you know you're not getting the 50-50, but as a team, you always have to try and, you know, not use that as an excuse? How do you approach that?
Yeah, look, you got to ignore that. That is white noise, and the media and people outside the circle, it's a distraction. So you need to focus, but you need to go through your processes. Like, the first thing you need to do before games and during the lead up is make sure you get good comms and connections with the referee. When you address, you know, there's also certain skills that when you address the referee, you use first name basis, you know, control tone and volume and all that kind of stuff. I think, the halfback, I've been quite probably critical of him the last couple of weeks. He's just been a little bit too pushy. And I saw, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, the way he had talked to the referee, got into his grill and just the tone of his Lomani, the chatter with the referee, I thought it's just all wrong.
Yeah, you are.
He needs to control that.
Yeah, you are right. I always say that to our players, the ref should be your friend. When you get them on your side, you usually get those 50-50 calls. But also, whoever controls the ruck or that momentum of the game, the ref usually gives the 50-50 call to two. Do you think that might be a case as well where they're probably losing the momentum battle?
Yeah, I think so. And they might seem hard done by, but when you revisit the footage and have a look back at it, it is 50-50. And they may seem like things may build up, but look, at the end of the day, the referee's always going to be right. You're never going to change his decision. And it's really important that you have that good connection and good relationships with the referee.
Yeah, nice. So hopefully it's not going to prove too costly, especially when, you know, that ill discipline come the back end of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still trying to make a charge for that top six.
You don't want to build that reputation.
No, you don't. You don't.
If you're that halfback and you've got that ref in the final, you know, he's already going into that game going, oh, here we go. I'm going to have to ref this kid again.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I think that's why, you know, when we look at the selections, I know, like, when they've had Davide Ikanivere on the bench, I understand what they're trying to do, but he's their captain that comes off the bench.
Yeah.
It's almost like you feel like you need him on there the whole time to control, you know, the emotions that can come from not getting the right calls. But we'll see how that unfolds anyway, especially this week, and we'll get to that with them playing against the Force. If they haven't done well over in Perth, and hopefully they can break their 18 away losses in a row so far, the Drua.
Yeah, they changed the halves for that game. Kuruvalli and Munts partner up again. There's been Murray.
Suspension, yep.
How long's he gone for?
I think he's got 3 weeks. 3 weeks, wow. Yep.
I mean, he probably deserved it. It was a swinging arm, and it looked really bad when it hit the ground as well. So he's outstanding. He is an unbelievable player. I reckon the European clubs and clubs in Japan would be circling him for sure.
Yeah, the way he scored that try, he can bend the line, but he's just there in support. His work ethic, everything he does, like, that back row is so heavily contested, and it's even when you mention that with the players that they've got in that back row, Mick Byrne, he's come out and said 80% of his Fijian side have going to come from Fiji, actually, because he's so impressed, one, with their back three and their back row.
Yeah, totally agree with you there, Waxy.
And
it's a game they can win, the Drua, I think, with Perth. long way to travel, but, you know, if they can start to fix up some of those simple errors and ill discipline, they can certainly win that game.
Hey, let's just make sure they have a bus ready in Perth for them, eh?
Oh, yeah. Very well picked up, T. Hopefully, now the Western Force, the red carpet will be out for them for sure. They know how to organise, you know, something special over there. The Force,
they'll all get their own room.
Late checkouts, I want it all.
Yeah. Trust me, they're all good. The Western Australian people, they know how to look after their away teams. That's why they won all the time when I was there. But hey, Minor Pacifica, it's going to be a tough one without their fearless leader Ari Savea. They've still got a few other injuries as well. We still haven't seen Lotu Enisi in there or Julian Savea. Obviously, they're coming off the bye, so hopefully they're well rested. How do you see this one going down against the top of the table leaders at the moment with the Chiefs?
Yeah, look, tough. It's going to be a tough game, especially with Artie out. Miracle actually goes to seven, and he's been fantastic. I think he's been fantastic so far this year. The worrying concern for Moana is the amount of injuries they're starting to rack up. You know, you got James Lay, Dalit Dewey, Inisi boys, Danny Tuala, Artie, his brother Julian. There's a host of injuries at the moment, so hopefully they can get them back over the next couple of weeks. But look, it's going to be a tough one. But you know, who thought that they'd beat the Hurricanes last week or a couple of weeks ago? So look, I'm sure they'll give it their best shot, but it's going to be pretty tough.
If they were to win this game, how do you think, or what's the best way you'd recommend them going at it?
Yeah, especially against the Chiefs, they're solid indeed. They've got a brick wall there.
Yeah, look, I think it all starts with the set piece, and the line-out's been inconsistent with Moana the last couple of weeks. If they can shore that up, their scrum actually is quite powerful. Their front row are massive, Muffy Leo and co. But if they can shore up their set piece, play some good field position, who knows? Anything can happen.
You know what's cool about when you talk about the set piece? They've got two foreigners for Minor Pacifica, Tom Savage and Alan Craig.
Yeah.
Tom Savage will skip a Minor Pacifica. He's a big Englishman, yep. Big unit. But on the team list, they call him Tomasi. Yeah, when they announced it. And Alan was Alani. So they had that on the team list and all the comments on there. Yeah, Maria, Tomasi and Alani. So that was cool to see that how they've embraced embraced them as their own on that. Hey, some other good news has come out. We've seen that the Indigenous and Pacific Invitational 15 will play against the British and Irish Lions, as well as the Aussie New Zealand, sort of like the Anzac team, to play against the Lions. T posed a great scenario as well. Can our Pacific Island players play in both games? Say like a Richie Mo'unga, could he play for the Anzac one and the Indigenous one? What's your thoughts here, mate?
Yeah, good question, T. Didn't think of that. Look, I think I some players could back up definitely if it's players of the calibre who have played Test match rugby before, because I think the whole concept is, well, I think one game was supposed to be against the Melbourne Rebels, so they pulled out, so that's freed up a game for the Pacifica boys, and as we know, there's a host of Pacifica boys all throughout the Super Rugby teams, especially in Australia. But it's another opportunity, I suppose. You know, Joe Schmidt would have his hands all over this selection. And, you know, it'd be guys who, I suppose, just getting an opportunity to show their chances for the Wallaby jersey.
Mm. Who would be, if you were in that team, who would you pick, one forward, one back? Who would you go with? Anyone around the world?
Anyone around the world.
Our Pacific talent.
Anyone around the world, geez. I love the seven, Sione Havili at Moana.
Yeah.
He'd be my number seven. The back, I would take Richie Moana.
Yeah. I'd go.
Who would you go?
Artie.
Yep.
Yep.
Savia and Soli'i.
G,
GGs.
Oh, but he's Swilly's always going to be with the Wallabies.
Yeah, but he's Samoa.
Yeah, he's Samoa. I know what you mean. But I mean, like, as it, so, I should have been more like clearer with my my boundaries there. But on that one. But Richie Mo'unga and that, I think Lima, he should be a good shot too. To come down and play in one of those games.
I hope
cousin.
So. Is it in Australia?
It's in Australia. Get some tickets, my friend. Get some tickets for us.
Get him down there, and then he usually takes us out to dinner. And
his shout, of course.
Gets the card out, yeah.
Yeah, nice, perfect. The yen going strong. And finally, we mentioned early in the show around the Pacific Hall of Fame. Some legends have been announced. Still yet to see the king in there. What's have you got the call up? Is your phone? Surely, have they got your Japanese number?
Well, maybe. Well, I have changed phone numbers, so maybe they have a number.
George Smith's on the day. George Smith's one of the selectors.
Is he?
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to him for a while. I might give him a ring tonight.
No, we need to do something. Start planting some seeds, mate.
Yeah, we've got to get it out there. Got to get it out there. But, all right, anyway, Kefu, hopefully we see your name there very soon. And if not, I'll be making some noise and making sure that you get on that list. And then I'll be next year, I think, they've said my name. on that, but on that note, we'll finish up. Always love having you on, and we'll catch you next week.
Boys, pleasure.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, each week we finish our Nijin Footy Fridays with our knockout tipping competition, where me and Sammy, we have to pick one team from league and union each week, and we're not allowed to pick them again for the rest of the rounds until all
we've picked
all the other teams. And the score is 4-4.
Yes,
four.
I've caught up.
And
I've caught up.
The winner at the end of the season gets a jersey from the loser of their choice, so of the winner's choice. So
I need a new jersey. Look at my Reds one. It's 22 years old.
And you got 2 from 2, Sammy, so last week. So great work. Let's get to our picks. Mate, speaking of this one, right, so I went Dragons in rugby league. They were up, I think it was 24-12.
Oh, that's what you did too.
And I fell asleep, woke up, and they lost. And I'm like, what happened there?
You know, I didn't even watch the game, but when I see your picks, I keep a close eye. That's the first thing I check. Oh, I need to see. And as soon as I see that you've lost, I write it. I absolutely write it and just think, yes. And then if you've won, secretly, you know, I've just got to make it out like I didn't care. But
don't
really,
worry. I'm the same. Yeah, Anyways, let's get to it.
Who have you got this week?
This week in league, I'm going with the Gold Coast Titans to beat the Knights at home. Yeah, when you just look at that team, they're actually a pretty stacked 71-17. So, I know the Knights are missing a couple as well.
Yeah.
So I'll go with the Gold Coast Titans because, this might be one of the opportunities where they get that win. So Titans in the league, and in the union, I'm going the Highlanders to beat the Reds.
There you go, at home too. That's actually a really good pick. I'll start with you. I'm actually going to go the Reds for the upset, even though they are missing a couple as well, some key players.
You said that last week.
But yeah.
Why the upset? Tell me why.
No, I think they're in a good, I reckon they're in a good place, the Reds. I just feel like they've played well at home, and they always have good battles against the Highlanders. This is a really good, I think a really good grudge match between the two Aussie teams. And I feel like it's going to be a cracker game down in the dirty south, and the Reds going to get over them, even though
at least one of us will be ahead on the scoreboard.
Exactly, next week. And in rugby league, I need your thoughts here. I want to go the Dogs over Parramatta. I'm going to follow your tactic from last year when you used to just follow the Tigers.
Just remember, Viliami Kikau is also out injured.
That's right, he is. MCL.
Matt Burden.
Oh,
I'm staying
strong.
Parramatta Eels are struggling, but I reckon they've had a big week at training this week.
You reckon?
Yeah. So
you've planted some doubt there. No, I'm going to stick with my Dogs. That's my team.
Doggies to beat the Parramatta Eels. Yep. All right. Great work, Sammy. That's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts. I will catch you on Monday.
Ka kite. Yeah.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.